Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for joining me again on the Balanced Dietitian podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Natasha. She prefers Tash. She's also known as the Thick Nutritionist. So Natasha is a Canadian non-diet nutritionist, body image activist, Zumba instructor, and entrepreneur. She has spent years, like I think many of us, slave to diet culture. Even with all the rules restrictions, she was never able to keep the weight off. So after hitting her rock bottom, she finally gained food freedom and learned how to truly love herself. And now her own experiences inspired her to help others who are struggling with the same issues. This is so great. And I think a lot of us can relate to her story. Today, we're going to be touching on body image and more specifically, body image with cultural differences. We all know that society has different ideals of what the perfect body is, depending on where you are in the world. But when you are an immigrant or have different cultures in your family, it can be very hard to marry those different body image ideals and to let go of them altogether. So today's conversation is going to be so, so amazing. And I cannot wait for you to meet her. She is such an amazing, kind person. I'm so happy to share this episode with you guys. So let's get to it. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here, Tash.
Thank you. I'm so excited too.
So we're going to get started, and I love stories. Like, I love to like know people's stories. Like, psychology is one of my big things. So understanding like the origin story and how people got to where they want to be is super interesting to me. So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are today?
Okay. So it all started in South Africa. I lived there for the first 8 years of my life. And so I lived with my family. And just in general, my life was very active. We had lots of great food. I'll give my mom credit for that. But I was always a chubby kid, like no matter what. And I have younger brothers. They're naturally slim. But for me, I've just always been the chubby one. And so we moved to Canada when I was 8 years old. And it was totally different here because back in South Africa, there was always like tons of kids that did look like me. So I never felt out of place. But then coming here and moving to Toronto, it was just so different. And so I tried to keep up the same energy in Canada, but I got picked on a lot more. And so I became conscious of my weight, and I never even saw it before, but it really was just at the forefront of who I was.
Were people picking on you based on your weight?
Yeah, they were. I remember I had this nickname, BBQ, which meant big booty queen.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, kids are mean. And so, yeah, just growing up through elementary school, high school, got picked on. But I always just tried to be active. And anyways, in around grade 12, I guess I got really into health and fitness and what I thought was being healthy. And it was all because I really, really liked this guy. It's a sad story, but that's how it started. I really liked someone, and he told me that if I lost 50 pounds, then maybe things could work. And like little me thought that that was a great goal. So I actively like starved myself throughout grade 12, trying so hard to lose the weight. And I did end up losing weight. And the problem with that is the whole time I thought I was being really healthy. Mm-hmm. I was listening to all this nutrition advice that was not accurate, but I just didn't know better.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is, even though I wasn't eating and I was exercising way too much, like I was exercising 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day, but everyone would praise me all the time and just mm-hmm. accept me so much more and say like, oh, Natasha, can you give us some advice? Please tell us how to lose weight. You look so, so good. And so.
Yeah. And it reinforces that idea of like, sweet, if my body is smaller, if my body is thinner, people like me more. People validate me mm-hmm. more and want my advice now.
Yeah. It was really hurtful. But in that moment, yeah. I just didn't see it that way. I was just mm-hmm. so happy to finally almost fit in.
I like yeah. that almost fit in.
Yeah.
Everything you have to sacrifice to almost fit in.
And even still, almost is a strong word. I was not going to fit in, but I guess I was just less socially unacceptable. So it was nice.
It's such a strong motivator though, eh?
Well, it didn't work out with that guy in the first place, but.
Which is good.
yep. Thank God for that.
Blessing in disguise.
But the moment that I could not function on 1,200 calories a day and exercising, doing all kinds of crazy exercises every single day, mm-hmm. I burnt out. And when I started eating normally again, I piled on so much weight. Yeah. Like I had initially lost 50 pounds, but then I ended up gaining 100 pounds back. Yeah. And it was like very traumatic on so many levels.
Of course.
You know, like I originally thought I was overweight, and then just like actually losing that 50 pounds, gaining acceptance, well, fake acceptance, and then getting back to the original and even way more. It was just really hard. And then people started looking at me differently and judging me even worse than before and just being like, wow, she's out of control, all of this kind of stuff. And the worst part about it is at that point, I had already started nutrition because I wanted to apply during the whole healthism phase that I was going through because I wanted to lose weight as quickly as possible. And I thought, oh, if I learn the science, it will help me cheat the system. I'll figure it out. I used to say like, I don't care if it's healthy or unhealthy. I just have to figure it out yeah. so I can do this. Like it yeah. was toxic.
Weight, yeah. Because then weight becomes more important than your health. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of like listeners can relate to this too, is like, I don't care how I'm going to get there. It's probably going to be unhealthy, but I'm going to get there. Like, I think I've had a client exactly. once told me like, I'm going to go to Mexico and I'm going to eat all the salad there because I know I'm possibly going to get a worm and then possibly going to lose weight. I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Like it gets like, so distorted on like ways that we need to like try to like shrink our bodies to the point of like mm-hmm. unhealthy, but it's okay because the end result is worth it.
It's such a harmful perspective, and I don't know how it's become a norm. It's really unfortunate. I've heard it so many times, just people not caring, and I've been there too, not caring how I get there. I just want to get there.
Yeah, and I think like that's the whole like point of like the diet culture and how damaging it is, because those promises, those false hope it gives us, it's mm-hmm. like at any price, that's where I want to get to, because then I'll feel accepted, love, and all these things that really have nothing to do with the size of your body, right?
But, no, nothing at all. Yeah. And so yeah, as time yeah. went on, I could not stop gaining weight no matter what. Yeah. And I finally just hit rock bottom, and I was like, if I can't figure out how to lose weight and I'm literally in nutrition, how will I ever lose weight? How can yeah. a dietitian help me? And so I booked an appointment with a dietitian. And in our first session, I told her, I need to lose 50 pounds. Like, that's why I'm here. Can you help me do it? And now that I think about it, I feel a little bit ridiculous about that. But she didn't make me feel ridiculous. She was just like very compassionate. And she was like, you know, I kind of operate from a different perspective. I don't just want to focus on your weight. Are you willing to try like a different approach? And I was like, okay, I guess so. I was really desperate. So I was like, whatever, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And so she also introduced me.
I say, I love her. I don't know who she is, but I have love for this person.
She is awesome. Her name is Amy Pickering. Shout out. So she introduced me to intuitive eating and it just blew my mind away. Like in the first time we ever talked about it, I don't know. It was like dots connected in my mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been looking at health the wrong way all this time. I've been dieting, wasting years of my life and just hating myself for no reason.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we just spent more time together, just digging through my different struggles. And from our sessions, I ended up remembering that I really loved dancing and dance fitness because I had stopped during that time that I started only exercising for calories and not for fun. And so she like encouraged me to get back into that. And I'm so glad that I did because now I'm a Zumba instructor and I love dance fitness so much. And it's just crazy that I really threw that all away just because I was trying to lose weight for someone that didn't even actually care and to get acceptance from people that would never actually accept me.
Yeah, so, and the fact that you would need to change your body to get accepted is just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at that point, were you still in nutrition? Were you still doing your studies?
Still going through it. Yeah, that was my third year. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's when I started my Instagram page because I was like, I have to share this with the whole entire world. I know I'm not the only woman or even male who struggles with this, and I need to get this message out here because maybe it will change someone else's life. I just was amazed by it. And so now it's been 3 years since I started my page, and I'm just really excited by how much it has grown. And it's just incredible. And it also really helped me stay accountable on my own journey because sometimes if I'm feeling down, I go back to my posts and I'm like, okay, so this is what it's about. You might be having a bad day today, but this is not life. You are still worthy. You're valuable. Don't go down that path again. You know, we know better now, Natasha.
we know better. And
we
your
better.
Page, like, we'll definitely link it to the episode, but it is so, so great. And I can tell like how much effort and compassion you put behind every post, just having that safe space for people to connect and being like, we are so much more than our bodies, and like health looks so different for everyone. And it's just such a great reminder. And I love how you like go back to your own post and be like, okay, yeah, this is good. Yeah, because it's, and that's how I think it connects to people even more. It's because it's like, I've lived this, like I'm living this. So I know how it feels. And that whole connection aspect is super important.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really do try. It's hard sometimes, but it's worth it.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Oh, what's a great story. And I feel like a lot of listeners can relate to that. And even just that, like, dieting to try to shrink your body and then your body kind of swinging the other way because man, your body must have felt so scared and unsafe. So it's
exactly
your body's like, I'm gonna help you and like retain energy because I don't know what's going on.
Yes, like help me please, what's going on?
Yeah, and I feel like when we can have that view of our bodies just being like so supportive and they just want to keep us safe always, that really changes that perception of like, wait, I'm fighting against my body, but my body's not fighting against me. My body's just like, they're like, hey, I got you. I'm supportive.
Yes, it's just there.
Yeah. That's awesome. So now to today, you're done with your studies. So what are you up to now?
I am really interested in just getting as many speaking engagements as I can to talk about this topic. So I'm just trying to throw myself in as many like workshops and podcasts, presentations. That's what I really, really want to do this year. Yeah. And I want to expand to more platforms to spread the message out.
Yeah, promote this anti-diet lifestyle. Right? Like just not shrinking your bodies and not going down that path of just like emotional hardship. So if you were to describe yourself in three words, what would you say?
So I thought this was a really, really hard question because don't know how to describe myself. I asked my friends to describe me.
Oh, I love it. Okay, cool.
Okay, so I am bubbly. I think I'm always that friend who's overly excited about everything. And I'm always like, where's the party? Let's celebrate. I always want to pump people up. And then outspoken. I don't know how I'm outspoken, but my friends all say that I am very bold and I say whatever I feel. And I have no problem sharing unpopular opinions if I think that it will be helpful in a situation. I guess diet culture is a huge thing that
I'm like
the opposite way about.
If you're choosing to be an anti-diet, like nutritionist, you have to not be scared of going against the grain because that's what we do every day.
Yep. And the last one would be thoughtful because I just spend a lot of time in my mind just trying to figure out how I can make things better. Like within my friendships or family or just anything in general, I'm just usually overthinking it. It's caring.
Yeah, it's very caring. And I was going to say, like when I, well, we met on Instagram a while ago. To me, what always came across was like your positive energy. Like it's so contagious, so uplifting. I'm like, connects to people. Yeah, so I love that about you. And I love this question because I know it's hard and I love to like push the like, comfort zone being like, ooh, it's hard. And I think probably men too, but as women to like almost like pump herself up a little bit and be like, okay, what is great about me? So I like to have that. So today we really wanted to talk about body image, body acceptance, and almost with that like perspective being like an immigrant with different cultures. So I thought that was so, so interesting. But let's start with like understanding like what are beauty standards? Like when we base our body image, like how does that whole thing work?
Okay, so basically beauty standards are the way that society has decided in that moment of what beautiful is, what an attractive or sexy person looks like. And so I feel like beauty has always been a measure of social value. And so people really try to fit the standards as closely as they can because everyone wants to feel worthy. They want to feel loved and accepted and seen. And the hard part about beauty standards is that they're always changing. So if you're always trying to keep up with it, you can end up just killing yourself because no one can ever truly fit all the standards of beauty all the time.
Yeah, that's such a great way to explain it. And I was even thinking of like, can we separate beauty standards and society standards? And I don't think so. Like, I think it's literally setting up those, this is what's nice right now. This is what you need to strive for, which is like a whole marketing technique to sell whatever products is right now, but whatever. That's a whole other thing of like, this beauty standard, and like it's such a smart business plan because then you need to buy everything, I'm telling you, to reach this.
Seriously, it's such a great business, and I wish people would see it more as this is a business. People are trying to take advantage of me by telling me what I should look like. I don't have to follow this, I can just do my own thing. But
and it's, I think beauty standards too is really based on fears of if you do not look this way, you will not be accepted, you will not fit in, or you're not going to be seen as valuable. So it really pushes us on that fear of like, wait, I need to achieve this. Like it creates this need of like, oof, I got to do this.
Just being a human being. Yeah, of course, everyone wants to fit in.
Yeah. So now tell me a little bit more about beauty standards, like as you were in Africa and then coming here, like how did those change?
Totally different. I mean, back home, there's just a lot more acceptance for a range of body sizes. So it seems that more women are just satisfied with their bodies overall because, well, fatness or just being larger is kind of correlated with not being poor. It means you have enough food at home. It means you can do that. You're not starving. So historically, it wasn't seen as a bad thing if you are a person in a bigger body. If anything, if someone is like really, really skinny, people might actually be suspicious of them and be like, is this person sick? And I think it's because like HIV or AIDS would be something that's really prevalent there. And then we know what that can end up looking like. So people used to associate thinness more that way and then fatness with wealth. So just growing up, I never really felt uncomfortable about the fact that I had a bigger body because I didn't think that anyone from my own culture or society would look at me different. But then coming here, no, it was not wrong at all.
Yeah.
But then coming here, it was just so completely different. I was in a place, like I said earlier, where no one really looked like me. And for the first time, I'm way more exposed to the media. I did watch TV when I was back home, but then actually being here and then like even going to school, looking at magazines, all of like the different forms of media, I got really like sad about what I looked like because I realized I didn't look like any of my peers and it didn't look like as an adult I would look like anyone who's considered beautiful. So it just like really hurt as a child just realizing that, oh my, like these standards are way too unrealistic for me. No matter how hard I try, I'm still going to be black. I'm never going to be like a white person. I am not naturally slim, but I think that it's a little bit weird because with time, even in my own culture, it seems that people are shifting their mindsets now. And I hear so many women wanting to lose weight. Everyone is actually now about weight loss. And I think it's just because of how much of an influence Western culture is bringing. And it's just really unfortunate for a place where people were actually happy being larger before, also going down the same path of wanting to be skinnier.
Yeah, which also shows us that power of society of like, why was 10 years ago this super acceptable to now not being like, what changed, right? Like who said, but now becomes a new like standard of beauty of like, no, this is it.
No, I actually do need to be smaller. And it's also just weird because I feel like the standards are different even between men and women because even now, most of the women I know do want to lose weight, whereas the men seem like they've almost remained consistent in what they find attractive. They're still okay with larger bodies, but it seems like we're the ones who are not okay with ourselves being the way we are anymore. And I just wish it wasn't like that because we're all made to look different, you know? There's nothing wrong with whatever size your body is.
Yeah, and I think with women, it's like that thinness ideal, whereas with men, it's a lot about that like masculinity, like muscles, like being defined, you know? Like whereas very thin men may feel very inadequate about being thinner. And what they're striving to have muscles. So it's almost that opposite of like having larger bodies feel like it's more manly. Whereas women, it's like, no, you can't have a large body. You have to be more thin.
Yes. Right? Yes. Just try to shrink yourself as much as possible.
Yeah. And do you think like coming here and now like having the different beauty ideals, like did that make you like ashamed a little bit of your culture or being like, oh wait, what back home is not right? Like how was that for you?
Surprisingly, it didn't make me feel ashamed of back home, but it made me feel like I want to go back home. Yeah. Like for the longest time, I always thought like, oh, when I'm older, I'm just going to go back because at this rate of not fitting these ideals, how am I ever going to find someone to marry me, to love me? Because I don't look like what I'm supposed to look like here. And honestly, I really had that insecurity for so many years growing up. And I always wondered, like, why as a grade 5 kid were you worried about being married or finding someone to love you just because of the size of your body? Like, that is not a thought a kid should be having, you know?
100%. It's like, again, like that wanting to belong, right? And now as an adult, how have you found like your own sense of body image and accepting your body and just not really caring, I guess, about like cultural beauty standards?
The way it has worked for me is just taking it less seriously. I just take a step back and I try to be more objective. I'm like, look, beauty standards change all the time. Literally every society, different cultures see it differently. Maybe I'm not hot here, but I'm sure I will be somewhere else. So then I realized, like, that's really silly to want to change myself to fit my geographical location. I can't do that. So when I started looking at it that way and seeing that people's minds change all the time, none of this actually really matters, I realized that, okay, I make my own rules. And I guess I just realized that as long as I'm active and I'm doing exercise that I enjoy, I know that I'm eating well too, still having lots of fun. I go to celebrations. I'm not skipping meals anymore. I'm living a full life. And whatever my body ends up looking like is perfect for me, because just wanting to shrink myself for acceptance is not a good idea. So just realizing, nope, I'm valuable the way I am. If someone is worth it, they'll see me that way too. I don't need to change my body for that.
I love that so much. Like, I love that, like, I set my own rules. Like, my body does not need to look a certain way. And then going back to, like, and your body's like the least interesting part about you. Like, if someone's stuck on the way your body looks, it's like, well, you don't even see me as me. Like, your body is just this like vessel allowing you to like be in this world. But that's
exactly
it. I love that so much.
It does suck having that mindset in a society that sees it the total opposite. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like that's a good way of thinking. So it kind of attracts people who are willing to hear the same message. Because when I look at my circle of friends, all of them are people that have accepted that, you know, my body rocks the way it is. I'm not going to be judging people for the way that their body looks. And I think that just having that mindset will always attract good people.
Well, and also help other people who are not yet able to see it that way. Like, I think a big part of your work is not only helping people once they're ready, but also for the people who are not ready, kind of like teaching them that there is another way, that the way they've been living is not, well, pleasant. It's kind of like for you, when you went to see that dietitian, you're like, weight loss. And she was like, cool, but how about no? How about we do something different? And I don't know if that's your experience with clients. Like, I know for me, I still have many, many clients. Although, like, everywhere it says, like weight neutral, we're not going to be blah, blah, blah. Like, weight loss is not my thing. They'll still come in and being like, okay, but I still need to lose weight. So I feel like that's still a big motivator. And then it's like kind of reshifting that a little bit.
Just because of that, it also seems like people are kind of taking advantage of the whole non-diet movement by disguising diets as not being diets.
Can we talk about this? Diet. Like, this is awful. I saw these anti-diet dietitians. And I'm like, sweet, let's connect. And then it's like, I teach you how to lose weight without dieting. I'm like,
no.
Diet in disguise. Yeah, but so many, right? Of like, oh, the mindful weight loss. And to be fair, like when I started at first, I was a little bit like that. Like I definitely thought of like, okay, yeah, you can still lose weight without dieting. And then the more I like dive into that work, I'm like, No,
absolutely not.
It's really hard when you have all these now health professionals using the anti-diet and being like, this is not a diet. This is a lifestyle. Well, every time it's like palm to face.
We just got to work harder to help people understand that, no, that's not accurate.
Yeah. And I think like that's where our work comes in, which is great to be able to be like, okay, cool. Let's like actually understand what this means. And Is there a way to shrink your body without being restrictive diet?
It is a sticky subject. And like what you were saying about thinking that you could lose weight without dieting at first, that's how I was too. Like when I look at my very first post, I'm like, join me on my weight loss journey as I lose weight without dieting. Like basically, because I was still new to all the principles.
Of course.
I thought I had it, but it was still a little off. But like, luckily 100%. I was still researching and I realized, oh shoot, okay, I should probably not be trying to talk about weight loss and not dieting at the same time.
Yeah. And I love that so much because it allows me to have compassion towards like other health professionals who are, mm-hmm. who are just not there yet, because I was there too. And that's what we're taught, right? In school. Like, I don't know for you, but for us, like, man, it was all about calorie counting, carb counting, mm-hmm. and all these things.
Yes.
And then try to integrate that into like the world and in practice with your clients. And you're like, man, can I still do this while including like a non-dieting approach? And it's just like a complete shift. So trying to give compassion to other health professionals who are not there yet. It's just hard because you know the damage that it causes, even if it's like the intention was hard. Oh my God, I could talk about this for like hours. Like it's just such a hot subject. Yeah. So with all this said, what would be your advice to your younger self regarding like body image and like cultural shifts?
I think one thing I would tell myself just moving here is you are going to be unique. Not a lot of people are going to look like you, but that is okay. All those little things about you that are different are something that are to be celebrated. You're just as able to do anything. Like you can go join all the sports teams if you really want to. Like I used to do figure skating, like right when I was new to Canada. It was fun. I really liked it. But I ended up quitting in grade 8 because I just felt too fat to be on the ice with everyone. So I guess I would kind of just be like, no, you're able-bodied. If you enjoy something, just do it. It doesn't matter what you look like. Like exercise for fun. Be yourself. Don't try to hide yourself. Like enjoy your uniqueness. I think that's the number one tip I would give myself. And I think I would also just say, don't take like the media too seriously. Just because a magazine is telling you that you should lose 10 pounds in a week doesn't mean that you should at all. Mm-hmm. You are healthy the way you are. If anything, going down the dieting path and trying to change yourself so much is what will ultimately make you unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll just try to make those concepts understandable for a younger person and just shift away from looking at what other people think.
And like, don't shrink yourself for a boy.
Yeah, that's a big one. Good point.
Boys are not worth it.
Definitely not.
Like health and fitness is not reserved for smaller bodies. Like
everybody
you can engage in all these behaviors and be super healthy, and it has nothing to do with
size. Exactly.
I was going to ask like if you had tips for a listener who's like feeling that stress from like not fitting in or their body image just being like, oh, I can't reach that thin ideal. What would be a tip for them?
When I was really in the middle of feeling that way too, what helped for me was realizing just how much of life that I was missing out on. I skipped so many fun things. Like I skipped weddings, graduations, birthdays. I didn't go to the beach. I didn't wear thin clothes. My life was just really kind of dark during that time that I really wanted to be someone else. So just realizing all the things that you could be missing out on in life, and realizing that, you know, even though your body is not at that thin ideal that you want it to be, there is so much to do that has nothing to do with your body. People love you. People want to be around you. So see your value within yourself. Don't worry about the thin ideal.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
I love that. It's almost like that cost-benefit analysis. How much of this is costing you versus the very small benefit that you get, because chances are when you reach that thin ideal, you're probably still not going to be happy, or you're still wanting
exactly.
to reach for more. Like very rarely do people like lose weight and like, okay, then I'm good, I'll stop. Like it's always like wanting more, or just your body being like, let's go back. So the cost.
And I don't want to be dark, but even after you pass away, it's not like someone's going to be like, oh man, I miss her abs. She was so skinny. She was awesome. Like,
well, and if they do say that, like, is that the type of person you want in your
no.
life? Like someone only sees you value for your weight. Like that's
no.
a lot of pressure. Like having someone
it
in your
is,
life
yeah.
is like, I love you because you have abs. Well, what? Like, do I need to have abs for the next 60 years for you to
like that is a tough requirement.
Yeah. Lots of pressure. So yeah, I love that. This is really, really good. Tell us more about your plans for the future and where can people find you?
I kind of mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. I just really want to reach out to as many people as possible to spread the message. Mm-hmm. I've always just been doing my Instagram posts because that's what I was comfortable with. And I'm kind of shy.
Okay, but I would not be able to guess that.
I know. People say, no, you're not. And I really am, truly. But I want to get out there and just talk about health so much more because there needs to be voices going yes. against the grain, because it seems like people who really actually don't care about all the harmful effects of what they're saying are the ones that are out there spreading their messages the most. So even though I can be kind of nervous about it, I just think it's way more important to go out there. So I really want to just do as many speaking engagements and grow.
Yeah. And you have such a great message. Like people need to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. You too. But for now, you can just find me on Instagram at The Thick Nutritionist. And I also have my website, well, where I sell anti-diet merchandise. And that is www.thethicknutritionist.com.
And can we talk about that? How did you decide to start your own like line of merchandise? Like they're so great.
Well, since I was a child, I always said that I wanted to be a fashion designer.
Love it.
And so as I got more passionate about haze and intuitive eating and anti-diet stuff, I realized that, okay, I haven't really seen any anti-diet merch. And sometimes I just want to wear something across my shirt that says, mind your own plate, because I am tired of people not minding their own plates and asking me why I'm eating whatever I'm eating. So I just figured I could make something that's kind of unique and witty and sell it. So it was an opportunity that I decided to follow.
Oh, I love that so much. Right. And like, as like, yeah, being in a nutrition field too, people are always so curious about like, what do you eat? Should I
yes.
eat that too? And you're like, no. Like you eat a salad, they're like, of course you eat a salad. You eat like a burger, they're like, oh, look at you.
A burger.
There's no winning.
Or they like feel like they have to explain their meal to you. Like, no, yeah. I'm not the food police. Don't explain yourself. Eat your ice
yeah.
cream.
Yeah, can you not? Or like, why do you think I care? Especially like if they're non-clients.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had like girlfriends of friends that I have being like, oh, by the way, I'm just eating this because like, but I'm like, do I look like I care? Like, I don't want to know what you're eating. But I think it's that validation piece, but also shows us like how much people care about these little things and be like, that's okay. And I'll tell people like, you don't need to explain yourself. Like eat what makes you feel good.
Yes, amen to that.
Okay, so now we're doing our fun questions. First
Ooh,
question,
okay.
What is your
okay.
favorite food?
Pizza, that one's pizza.
What's your favorite topping?
Pineapple. I just feel like adding yes! pineapple to pizza makes it better.
Yes,
controversial, but it's the truth.
I am totally on like the Hawaiian with like pineapple. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I would want to be a mind reader because then I would have to think a lot less. I wouldn't have to figure people out. I would just read their minds and be like, okay, this is what I can say to this person.
Yeah.
What superpower would you choose?
It changes a lot. But what I would love right now is to be able to click my fingers and be anywhere I want to be. Like, bam, Mexico, ooh, bam, France, bam, wherever okay. I want to be.
Wow. Okay. That is a sophisticated power to have. I was not thinking that deeply.
How cool would it be? No more commuting ever. I just clap my fingers and that's it. Now, what is your favorite way to self-care?
I am a really girly person, so I think a perfect self-care day would be like going to the spa, getting a massage, getting my nails done, just being really relaxed, maybe journaling after. I really like writing. Just
I love that.
A chill day. Yes.
Very chill day, pampering yourself. Awesome. And last question, because this is the Balanced Dietitian podcast. What does balance mean to you?
Balance is just all about doing what feels best in that moment, you know, kind of working really hard when you can. But then if you're feeling burnt out or starting to get overwhelmed, it's being able to take a step back and recover so that you're not doing too much. It's kind of knowing how to get to that perfect middle. It's hard, but it's possible.
It's like not living in those extremes of all or nothing, mm-hmm. just honoring yourself too.
Yes.
I like it. Well, I was so happy to talk to you today. Like, this was such a great conversation. Very happy we got to connect.
It really was. Thank you so much again for having me. I'm so honored.
Wasn't that so awesome? This conversation with Cash was just so great to just talk more about how social beauty standards or what the society's beauty standards impact us so much. And I love that vibe that you bring that like cultural piece too, because depending on where you are in the world, it's going to affect you differently. To really understand that, you know, like the external expectations of how your body should look like, one, is very hard to meet, but also why do we try to strive for that? So to take a moment and really ask yourself, what would it mean if I reached that thin ideal? What are the costs and benefits to keep striving for that thin ideal, right? Like, what am I missing out on? How much am I spending? How much time am I wasting? I feel like when we can come up with that kind of list of cost versus benefits, we really see that this striving for the thin ideal is costing us so much more than what we're getting out of it. And oftentimes the benefits are potential, like, oh, I'm probably going to feel better about myself. I'm probably going to feel more confident, but it's not really true necessarily, right? It's based on speculation. So I would invite you to do this exercise of what is the cost of continuing the way I'm doing? What is the benefit? And then what is the cost and benefit on healing my relationship to food? And how does that look for me? On that note, my friends, Tash's information is going to be in the bio. You can find her on Instagram at The Thick Nutritionist. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please like, share, and write a review. Like, this means a lot, especially starting a podcast, to share this message, which I think a lot of us would love the world to be on this anti-diet path and getting rid of diet culture once and for all, so we can all feel good, all feel safe living in our bodies. On that note, my friends, I hope you have a great day.